Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
So my Dianda.
Yeah.
To us.
Nikotari.
All right, everybody. So on today's podcast, I have on a sister of mine. Dado Ataifa. Come on, get kimami.
Oyo.
Oyo. I have on my good sis, Amanda. And today I'm excited because obviously, well, we're both from the same country in East Africa, Tanzania.
Yes.
And
that's 255.
255. And I'm excited because, like, you know what? I think a lot of times when we talk about Afrobeats and we talk about African music, I think sometimes East African music is overlooked. And I think that it's good that we have a conversation about what's going on our side of the continent. And obviously there's been quite interesting sort of intersections between sort of East African music and West African music. And a lot of those artists have been doing a lot of collaborations together. So invited you today all to just sort of talk about that. But sort of how are you doing today?
Yeah. I'm good. You know, got off work. I'm here. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about music, all things music, all things Afro music. I don't get to talk about that much. So yeah, excited to be here. Thanks all for inviting me.
And could you talk a little bit about actually how we met? Do you remember that day?
Wow. Wow, it feels like a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. So we met at a party. Was it like a frat party?
I think it was an alpha party.
It was an alpha party, right? It was Georgetown. I saw you before I met you. I saw you on the dance floor. Yeah. I was like, this dude is killing it on the dance floor. I was like, is it Kundalese? And a Chapakazi. I saw I wrote Cody. I'm like, okay, cool. He's bad. He's cool. And then we saw each other like in passing. And then I don't even know. Did we hear it? I don't know how we started speaking Swahili to each other.
I think asked you something like, where are you from? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And you said Tanzania. And I just started laughing because I was like, there's no way. Because this is the first person from Tanzania I ever met since literally. I came to uni.
And it was like my last year, and I don't know why, but I had not met any Tanzanians like throughout the whole 4 years. And so like my last like semester, that's when I was like meeting all these Tanzanians. I was like, what? Yeah. Where'd y'all come from? Why were you here before? I needed y'all.
I was all alone.
Exactly.
No, yeah. That was amazing.
So it was a fun time.
Yeah, because we also met another girl who's Tanzanian who also went to your school.
Yeah, but I didn't meet her at that party, which is really funny.
Really?
I didn't. I met her there, right?
Yep.
I didn't know she was at the party. I met her when I literally met her like at Subway on campus randomly, but I didn't know she's Tanzanian. And I saw later on that she was a contestant for the pageant.
Yeah. Look at
that. And then you're like, damn, she's Tanzanian too. Like, who knew?
Yeah. Subway bringing Tanzanians together. Who would have thought?
Right.
Oh my God. But yeah, so sort of that's how we met. And then we sort of just became friends from there on. Just good vibes. And definitely, like, sort of when we met, I could tell, like, in just all the various conversations of how huge of an interest you sort of had within entertainment and just music overall. And I think I always love to meet people who just, especially Africans, who have an interest in the arts and media and entertainment music, because obviously, like, we're all going to uni and all this stuff. Like, I'm sure our parents would have loved for us to like be studying, like, to be doctors, lawyers, engineers,
yes, yep. Stuff.
But here we are, we're like, oh, creativity, that's what it's
I know. Like, I think even like the last few years of my college experience, mom was like, are you sure you don't want to be like a fashion lawyer or something? I'm like, I'm about to graduate. What are you talking about?
Oh my God. No, but how did you sort of the interest in just the arts, media, and creativity even come about? And did sort of what you studied in college have anything to do with that as well? Or?
Oh gosh. I mean, I always loved music. Like, I was like Michael Jackson was one of my favorite artists when I was like 10 years old. So I've always loved music. I've always like singing and dancing and stuff. I had to find some way to make money out of it. I didn't know how yet. So, but I knew that public relations was a thing. I knew marketing was a thing. And I feel like it was general enough for me to like learn and like be able to apply it to things I like to do and love to do. So I decided, okay, let me at least have that as a degree so I can have a big enough like umbrella of knowledge to like go into any other space that I can work in.
That's amazing. So that's kind
of, yeah. And it's helped so far. I mean, yeah. I was in influencer marketing before this. Now I'm actually in a position that I really love, which is like brand partnerships, yeah. But it's music brand partnerships. So I've found a way. See, mom and dad, mom and baba, I'm finding my way.
Arachapakazi. Wait, what does influencer marketing, I mean, what does that entail? You know, are you working with influencers? Or are you?
So I was on the brand side. So it's pretty much making sure like campaigns, like, you know, those hashtag ads on your favorite influencer, yeah, or your favorite creative. I was making sure those things go live. I was finding them, sourcing them, and negotiating contracts with them. And then, yeah, just making sure like they do well by the brand. But so, that wasn't my passion because it was cool, but I wanted music. So I had to find a way to make something shake in that industry. So,
you made its move.
I made it move.
Oh my God. So are you able to tell us an influencer that we might know of that you worked with?
There's actually one girl, which is pretty cool. She was, she's a dancer. I forgot her name. But she's been doing music, like TikToks, like using African songs, which has been pretty cool to see. So like seeing that growth and she was a dancer for Janet Jackson at one point. I'll put it in the comments, you know.
I know, right?
I don't know her name.
I'll be sure to include it later.
I know, but it becomes a blur yeah, because I literally have like worked with probably like 100 influencers at this time, yeah, at this point. So just a lot.
And then so sort of with music and brand partnerships, are you working with, first of all, what does that mean? Just in layman terms, what does that mean? Let's start from there. What does that mean exactly?
So it just means with the company that I'm working for, is they have a roster of artists. Like they do like a lot of booking for them. So touring, festivals, college shows, all that type of stuff. And so as like the brand partnership side, we're allowed to like bring them opportunities to make other like side hustle money. So if let's say Nike wants a certain artist for their next, you know, shoe drop, we find the artist for them and then we make that connection and then we like, you know, negotiate a fee for them and stuff like that. So that's basically like what the job entails. And you know me, I'm an Afro babe.
All right.
So my plan is to make sure like later on down the line of my career that I'm able to like do the same for like African artists, because I feel like it's just an untapped world, because right now they're just learning about our music, but at one point they're going to want us to like promote their commercial,
make
like
money,
their brands, make money. So I'm learning. I mean, like, you know, year one of a 10-year plan of doing that.
That's amazing. I mean, I love to sort of hear you talk about sort of the goal that you have and how you were able sort of within your studies of what you studied at uni to your first job and your first role to now also being able to sort of shape your own path into like, okay, I did this role to be able to help me get to sort of this other sort of area of sort of entertainment and music that I would love to be in. And then finally you made that happen, but now you're also looking sort of years ahead of like, this is okay, this is where I would like to take it. And also this is how I like to include sort of my passion for African music and sort of this goal that I have of mine. And speaking of African music, obviously both of us being from East Africa, I wanted us to sort of talk about sort of what's going on with the music scene in East Africa and obviously Tanzania. No questions. There's no East African that can get about this. It's running the East African music scene, hands down. I mean, it's just the truth. So first of all, I know you also love to listen to a lot of West African music, as do all Africans.
Hard. It's hard not to.
It's really, let me tell you something. Y'all West Africans, y'all do whatever y'all doing. Whatever.
Keep doing it.
Seeing that. Keep putting it in there. I don't know if you guys have a different Maggie that you use. Maggie
Cube. Crack. They're putting crack in it. Crack. That's what they're doing.
It's some sort of West African crack that you're putting in there. It's working. It's working. Please just give us some of those ingredients, you know, in the East African part. But even having said that, like, I think like for me, when I sort of used to think about East African music growing up here in the States, like, yeah, I used to listen to a few, but like, it wasn't like I feel like, and maybe this was just, what do you call it? A product of like when we were like in primary, I keep using primary like as if we're still back home. But like when you're like in elementary or middle school here in the States, like I feel like during that time when we were like in middle school and elementary school, like it was not popular, first of all, to be African. It wasn't. And I just feel like as if at that time, like the East African music you had, was it just really wasn't caring. It wasn't giving me the vibe to be
what
like,
it needs to give. So I like, so actually a lot of people don't realize this, but I grew up in Tanzania, right? Mm. I was born in DC and I left when I was like 7 years old. So like most of primary elementary school all the way to high school, I was in Tanzania. And then I came to DC for university. That's when I really started listening to African music because I missed home. So I didn't know, I was like starting from scratch. Like I knew, you know, the Burna Boy, the Wizkid, like I grew up with those and I knew, but like I didn't know the little art, the smaller artists and growing like the different types of music, Alté, like there's still West African, but I didn't know the Alté, the Afro beats, the, you know, all the nuances of the different genres within Afro music. And so I had to like, that's when I started to learn about that stuff. But then I also like understood that African, East African music is different, man. It's a different
very
vibe.
Different, yeah.
Completely. Bongo flavor, you're not getting that anywhere else. And I had, it took time for me to appreciate that because I was like, I didn't want to really play it for other people because I feel like they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what they're saying, like why they're using these type of like beats and stuff like that. So it's still something I don't play for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, oh, they know Tems. I play Tems, but they don't know Diamond, you know, so I don't know. Like,
They're not ready.
Like, this is so new. It's so like far out for them. So I'm like, it's something that you kind of have to ease into. And I do feel like there's going to be a time for us. Like,
definitely.
Once you're, it's like, you know, I think I tell my friends, there's a point that you just like are done with eating like baby food. Like you need more. You need like
matcha
more
food.
You need like more things that you're going to chew. And so like once you're done with the Alté, once you're done with the Afrobeats, when you're done with Amapiano, what else is there?
East Chakula Chum Tum Zima. That's what you need.
Exactly. Grandma food. So yeah, I feel like that's just when like we're gonna be like coming in strong because we'll have our artists. Hopefully they'll be more developed and we'll have more of a bigger roster because right now Safi is dominating.
That's what's dominating. Yeah. And what would you say is like, the biggest difference in terms of at least the sound, the beats and the sound, the tempo and the flow of it? Like, what would you say is the biggest difference between East African music? And when we say East African music, we're mostly talking about like Bongo Flava mostly. I mean, that's what we're using as sort of the standard compared to sort of Afrobeats, sort of that West African genre. What would you say are the biggest differences or biggest identifiers of the two various genres?
I actually think we're more lyrics heavy. We're more storytellers. Mm-hmm. I feel like with the reason why like the West Africans are like kind of dominated and even South Africans is because the beat is what's crushing it. Like people are dancing to the beat. They don't really care what you're saying, but we are like literally, we have love songs. We have the words, like when you're hearing what they're saying, you're like, wow, they're really saying something. And then with the music is, and together, it's like a really like a well-rounded music. But I feel like that's something we're gonna have, I don't know how we're gonna jump over that hurdle because of course not everybody speaks Swahili, but I have seen some artists, especially like with music videos, they put lyrics and like subtitles and stuff like that, which you have to translate, which I think is pretty smart because Swahili sounds so beautiful. So beautiful.
It's poetry.
It's poetry. Perfect explanation. Yes, it's poetry. So I feel like once we have that, like it's game over.
Yeah, and I think it's also sort of with the beats in East Africa, a lot of it also because you have the sort of the Indian and Arabic influence as well. So like there's also like that sound, which it's not so familiar to the West African ear or even, well, I don't know about South African, but even at that, like
the techno, like it's very
It's very different. And I would say like with West African music, that most of it, like that also has a much more of a huge hip hop sort of dance hall element than I feel like ours do. I feel like actually ours has a lot more of a Latin vibe to it when you think about it.
No, I'm so glad you said that.
It really does. Cause
yeah, it does. Because I feel, that's also how I feel like we can do our own crossover, because once we start collaborating more with Latin artists, I feel like it's going to be like, this is where we fit. Mm. Because I don't know if you've heard, who was it? Was it Rayvani?
I think it was Rayvani with, what's Tetema? His name?
No.
Tetema, yeah.
Tetema. And then Maluma?
I feel like it was Maluma. It was either Maluma or Jay, what's his name?
Jay Blevin. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Latin people.
Hey, our Latin friends, our Latino friends, you're going to have to forgive us. We don't listen to Latino
people. Not like that. But I think it was Maluma, because I remember he's, doing the movie with J-Lo. So like, once he did that, I was like, oh, okay. So clearly there's an avenue for us in this like global scene, because it just goes so well together, and it just sounds so good, and it blends so well, and even with the dancing, like, because I feel like the dance scene is what really like put West African music over the edge, because of the TikToks and the dance steps, like, what is it called, the dance moves,
challenges or what,
the challenges, stuff like that, like, that's what I'm losing the words, but like that's what really like made it like more popularized, because people could like get into it and like play along.
Well, but I mean, you think about a person like Zuchu. She made that song, I think it's Scotty. Sugari, sugar,
Oh, yeah. Sugari. That's really like a TikTok.
That one went viral. And I remember it went crazy in Spain, because there was Spanish like TV show or something basically kept playing it. And I remember like it just blew up over there. And so you can see that sort of that crossover where like, oh, the beats, like there's sort of the foundational elements of those beats. It's very similar to like what you would hear if you're thinking of sort of maybe reggaeton, or you think about sort of Latin music. And so I think there's definitely is a lane for us to grow. And talking about sort of a lane to grow, Diamond Platnumz, we have to talk about him, because he is the biggest East African artist. No question about it. There's no questions about it. I'm probably a much bigger fan of Ali Kiba. And there's a reason why, because I just, to me, he's a more authentic sound of old school bongo flavor, and I love that. But I think I even can deny, like, Diamond Platnumz is it. Like, anywhere he goes, he's gonna sell out, at least on the African continent. He is a superstar, no questions about it. Granted, there's still a lot more for him to do outside of the continent. You know, he's not gonna sell out the O2 arena like Wizkid is, or he's not gonna.
I mean, but Wizkid had to be the giant of Africa first before to do that. So.
Exactly. So what do you think of Diamond Platnumz, of him as an artist, and sort of his development and growth, sort of with, I would say probably within the past 10 years, within this past decade?
Yeah, so I think he started off as an artist, but I feel like now you have to call him a businessman, because the way that he is capitalized off his music, nobody else has done that, and that's why he's like the biggest Tanzanian artist, East African artist right now. Like he knew that there was no infrastructure for him
at all.
Like, the music industry in East Africa needs a lot of work. That's putting it nicely. So he had to find ways to like fund his music, and he did that in other ways, not just like music wise, but like selling food and different avenues that he had to like build up, so he was able to like promote his stuff. And also, he knows how to play the YouTube game. Like, he realizes that that's where most of his money comes from. So he's releasing a music video literally every other month,
every other
week.
Yeah,
like there's always a new Diamond music video.
That man works.
So he's just found ways to really monetize his music. Now though, I feel like he knows the formula very well, and he's kind of like, okay, I know the formula, let me just do it over and over again and make
copy
my money.
And paste.
Copy and paste. Mm. Which is what Bobby and I are like, because we know the formula as well. And so it's just, I feel like he's lost his creativity a little bit. He knows now, okay, this makes money right here in East Africa, but like, if I want to do the same thing in South Africa, I have to mesh up with the Amapiano guys. And want to do the same thing in West Africa, I have to mesh up with the
Alt-Tain Congo
people. On Congo, Congo people, he knows how to.
He knows how to. He runs up the numbers. I can't lie.
He knows the formula. So I feel like he's lost his creativity a little bit, but nonetheless, he's still smart. Like, he's still doing what other artists are not, they're not doing that right now. So what can we say?
No, and definitely I gotta give a lot of credit to him, because I think sort of the the infrastructure that he built, first of all. I mean, creating his own music record label, first right. of all, that's a huge thing for a person who was probably 10 years ago was not known in most outside of
East Africa. I just remember him saying Cinderella.
Right. That idea, or you know, those kind of songs, like, which I have to say, that idea is one of my favorite old school Diamond Platinum song, classic. But like, I mean, he really started blowing up, what, I would say probably 2011 when he did the remix with DeVito. What was it for that song? Number One? When he did that remix with DeVito, I mean, he just, it was like he just took off. And the song was already doing well before DeVito, which also I have to say, DeVito is one of the best African artists when it comes to remixes. Because when he jumps on something,
it's true.
It goes and he knows what to get on. It's a lot of remixes he gets on, but they do an amazing job, you know?
He really, like, you were like champion stunts. He really jumped on that.
He will jump on anything. Finesse, he jumped, I mean, every single song out there. But I really feel like around 2011 is when Diamond really started like getting sort of that continental as well as like international sort of recognition. And from that, like you're saying, you know, he's able to build a business empire. And now he even has, you know, Wasafi TV, a whole TV network, you know, digital media, radio station. And I mean, just the amount of people Tanzanian youth that he has employed within the past few years. I mean, it's crazy. As well, you talk about people like Raveny, who all came under his label. And then you talk about Harmonize. We know they had some business issues. And Harmonize went and created his own label. But even at that, that's something to be proud of. Like, somebody that came under him now has became their own superstar within East Africa. And they're only, I mean, even on the African continent, I mean, Harmonize is also doing great things and like really also trying to make his own statement. And so definitely big up to him, creativity-wise now. You know, I'm very critical of Diamond. It's because I love them and I know like how much you could do creatively. Like song is like in terms of like the writing, like now we just I'm tired.
Honestly, he just needs to work with a lot more producers. Like, I feel like he just needs to look. I feel like he's able to afford to take some risks now.
100%.
With the way that he's like grown and like how big he is now, so he doesn't need to like do the same tracks over and over again, because we know how you sound, Diamond.
Yeah.
So please give us something new, something fresh, something different, because you're able to do it. You have the leverage to do that. Like, I want him to do more experimental stuff, like some, because I feel like he could also be, you never know, the godfather of like the next genre that's going to be big in Tanzania. Yeah. So like, it could be more than just Bongo Flava. Like, you can make something new entirely that's more for the dance scene. For the club. Because I feel like Tanzanian music, that's why it's not getting played as much, because you can't play it in the club. It's really like, you know, weddings,
romantic
Valentine's stuff. Which I get it, because that's in our nature. Yeah. But,
We're by the ocean.
Exactly. So I feel like we need like a club genre, and I don't think we have that right now. We need like something we can really dance to. I mean, he really did something with Tetema and
definitely.
I'm trying to think of like another song that like was big in the club.
And Tetema was true to sort of the Bongo Flavor Tanzanian sound. You know,
it was.
Of course, it had that Latin element into it, but it was that was even a lot of my Nigerian friends who during that summer when he sort of blew up, when they were back at home, they're like, yeah, all the clubs they were playing Tetema,
right?
He definitely has the capability. And granted, anything he does, it's just gonna blow up. And I was actually listening to his new album. I don't know if you've taken the chance to listen to it.
I haven't.
I was very critical of like one of the first songs I heard of it. But I went and I listened to every single song, and I'm not gonna lie, there was probably only one song that I didn't like. The rest, I really, really love them. Granted, some of the lyrics, words, the writing, some of it, I was very critical. I was like, you're still doing your weird gibberish English thing. But like some of them,
like, he doesn't realize how much Swahili is a strength, which is really saddening. It saddens me because he's tried so hard to like learn English and he's trying to like copy the West African world. They don't really pay attention to the lyrics. It's more like, how does it sound?
How does it sound?
Which is, it works for them because they have the beats to back it up. But we don't have the beats quite yet. So our strength is our lyrics, our strength is their words. And I feel like Diamond is not playing to that. And again, we already said that the Swahili sounds beautiful. Like, if you can say nonsense, but literally, say the Swahili, like, but say Swahili, we will go with it.
And so, speaking of Tanzania, obviously we've been on Tanzania for a while. What about Kenya? Because that's also sort of the next big sort of music market out of the East African region. For me, Southeast Soul. I mean, to me, Southeast Soul at this
rate, I was going to say the same thing.
That's who is the forefront to me of what the Kenyan music and sound is. And for them, I would say in Kenya, I feel like they have a lot more of Roomba influence. When you listen to like Southeast Soul,
yeah,
it's sort of that old school Roomba sound that like
they also have like it's really jazzy. I didn't realize Southeast Soul. I really got more into like, it's not really just Southeast Soul themselves, but like also the members
Soul
themselves.
Generation. Yeah,
and also I feel like the two of them, I don't know who it was, the Bald Man Anthem. Did you hear that EP?
Yes.
That's a crazy EP. Yes. That was really, really good. I just loved how they like played into their like aesthetic and the way that they're making the music is just so jazzy and like fresh and like experimental. Like that's the type of experimental that I want to see from Diamond, but they're doing it themselves. And I feel like they are not they're not at the level that they should be. They should be bigger.
They should be a lot bigger. Definitely.
That their story is a cautionary tale, like how important your team is. Cause I feel like if they had a good team supporting them and good management, like they would be on the same level as Diamond or even bigger. But because there's no infrastructure, there's no people like who really know what they're doing behind the scenes, so like really push them and market them and connect them with the right people, like they haven't popped off as much as they should have. Because remember like when they did that like choir song, it's a gospel, Kuliko Jana, and then they did a whole, it went viral. I feel like, to me, it went viral.
It definitely went viral.
I feel like it should have, at that point, they should have like, you know, went straight to the moon, but I feel like something fell off, like maybe like, you know, behind the scenes. So it's just a matter of time for them. And I feel like they could be the forefront. And also like Eddie Kenzo, I feel like he could be.
Yes, from Uganda. Yes, yeah.
Oh, he's from Uganda? Damn.
Yes, Eddie Kenzo is Ugandan. Yeah.
Show someone what I know.
Don't rob the Ugandans. Don't rob.
I know.
You know they're going
to. Respect to them. They have a very cool music scene out there. It's underground right now, but like they really are trying everything and they have different genres. And also, even the new people in Kenya, is it Karun? I know Karun. She's from, I believe she's Kenyan, or she lives in Kenya. Yes, she lives in Kenya. She's a singer-songwriter, R&B. She's really dope right now. I think she's catching the attention of like people in the US as well.
Not really.
Pretty cool. Catch a Vibe, the EP is pretty cool. And then also, I feel like there's like more, the underground like up-and-coming scene, like artist scene is pretty cool. Speaking of underground, up and coming in Tanzania, Turunish.
Who is that?
So she's like someone, she's a friend, like, so she's a best friend of my friend, family friend.
Okay.
And she just released a project called, what is it called? Turunish. I'm trying to like search up real quick.
What genre would you put it?
She's, I would say, Tarab, like, but experimental Tarab. Like, she's really like trying to fuse it with R&B and soul, which is very interesting. And her aesthetic is crazy. Like, Tanzania mamas would be like, what is this? What is she doing? But
An haribu
kinakitu. But she's really cool and she's like really getting attracted. She's like everything based in like, Canada, which is pretty cool as well. So I feel like there's a lot of young artists coming up and they're making their own waves and it's pretty cool to see.
No, I definitely love that. And I mean, even within rap, you see, I feel like hip hop, especially in Tanzania, it probably used to be a lot bigger than Bongo Flava, but it kind of got woven into what Bongo Flava was. It sort of, and I'm talking about like probably the 90s, the late 90s or early 2000s.
That was a time.
Yeah, that was a time of sort of hip hop in East Africa. And even now, and I feel like it kind of lost its sort of prevalence.
It's lost its hip hop foundation, I feel like. I'm not really mad at that because I feel like we have our own instrument, we have our own, like, you know,
sound
exactly. So I'm not mad at it, but it would, I feel like there should be room, there should be lanes, there should be different genres, the same way that West Africa is like starting to learn, but there's also Alte, there's also, you know, the hip-hop, there's also electronic stuff, you know, they're meshing with Amapiano as well. Like, there should be different genres within the continent. It shouldn't just be like one sound from each side. So I feel like we should get back to that. It shouldn't be one or nothing.
And do you have any sort of features that you've seen between East and West African artists that you like, or just even artists from East and West Africa that you've seen do sort of collaborations together that you're like, these two together sound amazing?
It was pretty cool. I think it was Tenny and Diamond did a song.
That would have been what, a year or 2 years ago?
Yeah,
I feel like it would have been like two. Very good. That would have been 2 years ago. I remember the song, and I actually can't remember the name of it, but I do remember them doing.
It was called Sound. Yeah, it was called Sound. That was pretty cool. I mean, that was his like first like introduction to the West Side, properly. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know the legalities of it, but the way that Diamond did Babalao, how he used, I don't know if it was a sample or a complete ripoff, but that was pretty cool.
I will say, you know, that's one of my biggest criticisms. I feel like other artists and their creativity, you know, there was one music video he did, and it was like a recent music video, probably during the pandemic. And he chose, I can't remember the American artist's name, but the artist is actually, he's like a, he does kind of like rap, but sort of alternative rap. I think his name is like Toby Nguyen or something like that. I think he's originally from Sierra Leone, but obviously American. And he sort of, Toby Nguyen has sort of this aesthetics, sort of like lime green. With the women are like, have their braids out. And so Diamond chose to do like literally the same aesthetics in one of his videos. And I remember like people kept commenting Toby, look what Diamond is doing.
What you doing?
And then Toby he replies in the comments like under one of the posts for Diamond's, Diamond was promoting the video, was like, hey man, like I'm so glad like you were inspired by my thing, but you could at least gave me a little credit.
Yikes.
You know? Which is fine. Like, artists use each other's, like, they get inspiration from one another. But, like, I feel like sometimes in Africa, they're just like, hey, man, like, I know I'm a big artist. I'll do whatever I can. Like, whatever happens.
It's always been a problem. You know, like, why are they using DMX for your barbershop, you know, signs? Like, they don't know anything about licensing. They don't know anything about, I feel like they, now at this point, Diamond, how big he has no excuse, because you should have lawyers, you should have people that understand.
Which he does have lawyers. I mean, that's the thing, but it's all right. We're still in the experimental.
Well, ask, yes, literally, we are still in the experimental.
That's our excuse. Oh my God. Also, what do you think about Nandi? You know, I love Nandi.
Yes,
I don't like
know a lot
song,
of like the female artists, which is really bad because I don't know as much. I know some rappers. I know like what's her name? She's Rosalie. She hasn't popped up as she should have, but she has potential, which I thought like she should have like been. She's not even signed yet. I don't think.
But she's good. I've heard of her. I've heard of her rap. So really,
yeah,
really
she's
great.
Pretty good. I don't think she has. She just needs like more vision.
But do we have, do you think the consumers in the East African music market have an appetite for that? I think that's also the thing, like, would she be more popular outside of East Africa? Or maybe Kenya. Maybe Kenya might be her best bet, honestly.
Yeah, Kenya, yeah. If she, like, really went in there, like, she could make a name for herself.
Do you actually have a favorite old school, like, Bongo Flava song that's, like, your go-to?
Oh my gosh, old school.
Or what about maybe an old school Diamond song?
I'm trying to go through my playlist, East Africa, Bongo Flava. If they're like a lot, and then you know us, we don't know the names.
No, I never remember the names. Never remember the names.
But I loved Lady JD.
Love her, yes.
Oh, wow. That song?
She had a run.
She had a run. And then Dolly Sykes in the morning.
Yes, Dolly. We can't forget about Dolly.
And then I know I said Cinderella. I thought I I matched it up to Diamond, but it's actually Ali Kiba that did Cinderella. That was a very old song.
Was that earlier?
It could be 2007. Like, it was, you know, back in really early school, like Bongo Flava.
Wait, Tinashe Adonna was not the girl in that, was she? I feel like Tinashe Adonna, it just wasn't the Video Vixen girl, was she?
I don't remember the music video. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a really good song. And then I'm trying to see who else. Professor J, legend.
Legend.
I don't know if he's Kenyan or Tanzanian though.
Who, Professor J?
Yeah.
He's Tanzanian.
Isn't he like a politician now?
Mm-hmm. I think he's an MP. Member of Parliament.
He should be Minister of Culture or something. Yeah. Like, come on,
well,
bro.
Well, you know, Diamond's manager is also a politician now. Which, yeah. I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah, this is different. I saw one of his speeches in Parliament. I was like, It's okay. I have no comments.
Oh gosh, you have so much to do.
But Diamond, actually, there's a song of his that honestly is my favorite. And I think this was like, but it was like 2012, I think, when he released it. Tampata Wapi. Tampata Wapi. Come on, you live. I don't know what is it about that song. There's one time where I saw in a concert, I think it was probably, I don't know if it was Kigoma or somewhere where he was performing, and he did it instrumentally, like live with a violin player, and it was just so beautiful. I was like, Diamond, that is what I'm saying. Like, I want you to do something like that. I want you to create your own I want you to do like your own tiny desk. Like, why the hell not have a tiny desk or something like that? You know, like live music. Yeah.
Live music. That's when we like African artists really truly shine, because I didn't realize just how it's just so like spiritually like beautiful. Yeah. Because the way that Thames and I think what's the name, Fireboy just did one. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, I don't like Thames live sound. I
didn't like her NPR.
I just thought the pitch was a bit. I don't know. It's a bit questionable. I'm sorry. I'm being honest.
There's some songs I didn't realize were good. And then from that, the NPR, I went back to it. I was like, wow. Like, replay, I didn't know it was that. Like, I had to go back to the EP because I didn't realize how good.
Yeah, I like the studio sound. I like the studio sound better. I always said, I think Ira Star sounds better live than compared to Sims. Okay. They have a very similar sound though. They do have a very, but yeah. I don't know what it was. It was, you know, I was just blame it on the, what do you call it? On the production. Because to me, it wasn't like the energy I was looking for. And I love Thames, by the way. I really, really love her. But no, I feel like a live sound, just getting sort of live music, especially even on the East African side, like it would just, South to Soul actually did something during the pandemic. And it was amazing where they were basically in this like, do you know like those like, I would say like kind of like 90s, 80s, like disco music videos where they're kind of like in, almost like it's like a box that they're in. And like, it's just built with like different lights and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to fully describe the setup, but basically they had something like that and they were just performing their, I think it was the Midnight Train album. So their most recent album. And they just did it during the pandemic and it was like almost for like 2.5 hours or something like that. And it was really beautiful seeing them put on performance, first of all, like in a virtual manner. Everybody's home, everybody's stuck because of the pandemic. And like just seeing sort of their creativity shine. I mean, that was a beautiful thing to see. And I think those are the kind of things I'm looking for from Diamond at this current time. Give me something different, something unique that I know you can give. I know just you can
do,
give.
You used to experiment. You have the way to like pay, like you have the way, the power now to like, show your people, show like what we can do, like what is out there. Like we already now know like, oh, music videos can be like this. Okay, bet. Oh, production can be like this. Bet. We can make our own like record labels. Bet. Like we have to like continuously like push the limit of like what is possible for a Tanzanian artist. And I feel like he's like getting a little lazy because he's got the money. But
yeah. And I get he's busy, but come on now. Hire the right people to just do it for you.
or if you don't want to do it, elevate your other artists to do it. Yep. Like you cannot be the only one. I feel like from the show, we've already realized he has a big ego. And he wants to be the only one.
And by the way, the show we're talking about, was it Young Africans and Rich or whatever it's called?
Young, Rich, Famous and African.
Young, Famous and African. On Netflix. If you have not watched it, You need to go on Netflix and watch it, and you will you'll be very entertained. By the way, who is your favorite character from there? Just say character, favorite individual.
I know, right?
Actual human beings.
Because there are truly characters. But, what's his name? Swanky?
He was Swanky. Stylist. Actually, Swanky was
hilarious. And then also was also like Andile. Andile. He's pretty messy, but like he has good energy. He's pretty cool.
And good advice. He offers very good advice. Even though he could use some of that advice for himself. Like, don't mess with your bros.
Why are you inviting two girls when you invited two girls? Okay. If anyway.
By the way, we're saying, so basically, Andile basically had like a party in one of the scenes, and he decided to invite his like two baby mamas to that party. While there is a girl there, a woman, I should say, whom he's interested in, and that woman happened to be Zari, who is Diamond Platinum's baby mama, who's also Diamond Platinum's and Andile are like bros. So he broke the bro code in multiple ways, and then just made the whole situation very messy. But yeah, there's a lot that one could say.
That's a lot. Just go watch a show. You won't be disappointed.
You will not. No, no. So sort of, I think that was at least sort of a great conversation about sort of what's happening in East Africa and sort of the music scene. But I wanted to ask you back to sort of R&B. I mean, not R&B, Afrobeats. What was your song of the summer in 2021? Your song of the summer. I don't want to say the song of the summer. Yours.
No, because the song of the summer was Essence, apparently.
I know, yes. Apparently, yes. While you're thinking about that, we actually saw each other this past summer in New York at a Litnik for a split second.
Oh, wait!
Yes! Well, we almost died. Anybody
that was too much. That's like the first time of the summer that we saw each other, but we also saw each other at the WizKid concert.
Yes, at the WizKid concert, which it was great, but I feel like he could have gone a lot longer.
He could have had like dancers. He could have
been
had
on time. Which is okay. It's okay. I usually expect it. You know what? He's not as late as some. I don't know if you're familiar with the French artist Takei, but he came to DC recently. Bro, it was like 4 hours. It was literally like 4 hours.
I mean, that makes sense though, because his album's been like 22 songs, isn't it?
No. 4 hours waiting for him to call.
Oh my gosh, no.
My feet, I was like, you know those commercials they do for like older people?
Yeah.
Like their feet. I was like, I need whatever shoes that they be using.
Orthopedic.
I need some of those treatment. Cause guy, I was literally like in pain. Granted, he's honestly one of the most amazing performers I've ever seen like live. He's great. When he came on, like it was just a great, great, great concert and performance. But I was angry because my feet, they were hurting.
You know who also gave me that type of experience? Rema.
Really?
I waited 4 hours for him.
No way.
And the event space was not where it was supposed to be. It was at like a young boys and girls club.
Wait. You're lying.
I'm not lying. It wasn't supposed to be that venue.
I was in the gym.
At the gym. And we waited for 4 hours. But when I saw him live, that guy has epic energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see him like Travis Scott level. Yeah. Like, he needs to be on a stage. Like, he needs to be selling out Madison Square Garden. Like, it's just so wild. And then, but I got to see him up close. So that's a lot of energy to like be wow. And I had to remind myself, he's just starting out, which is so crazy. Like, he has so much. I feel like Soundgasm could have been one of my songs for 2021 for sure.
Yeah.
But another one, I always say his name so terribly. Adekunle
Gold. Adekunle Gold. AG Baby.
AG Baby.
Let me tell you something. That alter Afrobeat genre, those guys and gals, they are killing it. Like, honestly, like just that sound that like he has, like honestly, it's that to me is actually my, I would probably say like within like the Afrobeat sound, that subgenre of sort of Afrobeat, sort of that alter vibe. That to me is my most favorite. And I feel like AG, Adekunle Gold is definitely the king of it.
Can I tell you, even though it came out 2022, Okay is my anthem. Like, will forever be my anthem.
Did you listen to his recent album?
I did. Also, I'm letting it marinate, but some good gems in there for sure.
There was an artist, there's a feature he did with, let me look it up. There's a feature he did in there with some female artist and I had never heard of her.
Was it Soshi? squishy?
Actually, it might be. Let me look just to double check.
I hate it. I'm pretty sure they hate it when we say this, but she was a TikTok artist. Like, she got big off TikTok.
Really? Oh, Dior.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. Really, really love that. I really, really, really love that record. That was a really... Honestly, Eddie Quinlan Gold can't do no wrong. He has the whole fashion thing down. I'm sorry. I think Swanky dresses at the Quinlan Gold. I think that's what it is. Swanky has to be the one dressing at the Quinlan Gold. And also, because you were talking about concerts, actually, what was your most recent Afrobeats concert that you, or African music concert that you had attended?
Fireboy DML. He is amazing live. I was actually disappointed because the track list for the concert was not reflective of how many hits he has. I feel like he still needs to learn a little bit how to work with the audience and like how to play off people's energy, because I feel like it was bee, and then it went up, and then he kept this up, and then he was like, okay, Peru, bye guys. I'm like, you guys, you brought up here, and you just gonna leave? No.
But like, I don't blame him though, because there's also a lot of Peru warriors at his concert. I experienced a lot of Peru warriors at his concerts that did not know about like, oh, his previous, like, what is it,
matter.
That first album he had, where I guess like the background is like a sky. That is, all of those songs are literally Vibration, like every single one of them, like just, it's amazing. It's like, but I will say, vocals wise, much better than the Wizkid live. Live?
Definitely.
Wizkid, I was so disappointed in your vocal capabilities. Like, you liked.
That's it. That was a conversation. Wizkid, we only see it because he's Wizkid.
I was like, hey, do you know who also has amazing vocal capabilities live? Burna Boy. And that background singer, there is a, I don't know who that female background singer of his, and she's always touring with him. I went and saw him, I think it was summer 2019 in Dallas. With my cousins, which by the way, we kind of had to sneak out the house. I love my cousins. No, it's funny. I have to tell this story. It's funny. I don't think my aunt, they would never hear this podcast anyway. But basically, like, I had went to visit them for the summer. My cousin was like, oh, like, Burna Boy is going to be like, he has a concert in Dallas. Like, oh, you should totally come and visit us during this time. And I'm like, oh, definitely, I'm coming. And so I went there. The whole reason I went there was to go and see Burna Boy. Of course, also see my family, my cousins.
Yeah, you know.
All those people. Yeah, my family, of course. Yes. And I remember the night of the concert, and it was like late when late at night. So, you know, like my auntie, she's a very like religious, prayerful woman, spiritual woman. And so when we're about to go out, like my cousins are like, oh, like we're just taking him around town, just downtown and all these things just to see Dallas. And my auntie goes, don't let those ones get you like in bad problems. Like those ones will lead you astray. The whole time, I want to
hear the enabler.
And I'm like, yes, auntie.
It's me.
We literally went, but let me tell you something. Burna Boy has to be the best African performer I've ever seen.
Really?
It is so good. And whoever is that female background singer of his, her vocals. Oh, I was like, yo, this is it. This Burna Boy deserves Giant of Africa title. I'm sorry, he is the Giant of Africa.
Period. Done. I'm actually going to see him in April.
I thought about getting. I thought about getting a ticket, but I was like, you know, I've already seen him. Like, I don't think I need to see him again.
Yeah, I feel some type of way that I was paying, you know, Drake dollar tickets for him when I could see him any other time.
I would never feel such a energy
conviction
to see Drake. Maybe once, of course, once in a while, I have to, at least once.
You have to say it. We have to see him once. Yeah. I feel like you have to see the big people just once, and that's cool. You don't really see, and you know what, because I did see Drake and Kanye when they performed together, right?
Oh,
I went to the LA show.
Really? How was that?
Yeah, it was dope. But the one thing I would say about like the sad thing when you go see big artists like this is that it's not intimate anymore. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot, there's no way you can get close to them. So like you're just really there with your friends and you hear the music and it's just nostalgia and stuff like that. So like that's the one thing. It's going to be very interesting to see with Burna Boy, like how does he play into it? Because he's so big now and it's going to be the big arena. So is it going to be still intimate? Are we still like, I just want to know like how that experience will be. So I'm very excited to like.
I feel like it still will because I just think also like the crowd that you go to see like certain artists with, like the crowd can really make it or break it.
It matters.
And I don't know, in my opinion, I just feel like the crowds that love African music and Afrobeats are different. Cause when I was at that Takei concert, it was all the Francophone crowd. And those people,
they were lit.
And so honestly, I feel like, I don't know, just from the videos I've seen, like on Instagram, just like even the big sold out concerts, like, and the stadiums, like it still seems like people really, and I just feel like if y'all bring the energy, even if y'all
we're gonna bring that energy regardless. I just hope that we're also around people who actually like want to dance and like live the music out, because the Wizkid concert, I don't know what they thought they were gonna go see Wizkid after party. I'm like, babes,
this is the only time. You only have this concert for yourself.
I don't know why you're acting so serious. Dance and enjoy the music, because this is the only time you're seeing him.
You paid money to what? To just stand around and watch.
Disappointing, but yeah, you have maybe be.
Well, do let me know how that goes when you actually go see him in April. But honestly, sure. I just think he is so great. Like, and that. I need to know who that woman's name is. I need to find out. If anyone knows who Burna Boy's background female singer is, please send me the name, because she is lit, amazing.
I'm gonna be having my ears peeled up at that.
But amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coming on to Afrobanta Beats. I've always even in the past, I've always said like I wanted to do like podcasts, like an episode with you. And I know you used to have your own podcast as well with, I think, is it two ladies or two other ladies?
Yeah.
I used to listen to it. Y'all want to talk about some very, very, very scandalous.
Hot topics. Spicy.
Scandalous conversation that African women should not be having.
Oh, new age.
Oh man, but no, I really loved it. Honestly, it's always a vibe. Every single time I meet you, like we're at an event together.
Gang.
On Instagram, we're going back and forth about Diamond, which I have to tell you, we actually talk so much about Diamond.
I know.
That's because we love him. That's because we love you, Diamond Platinums.
He's a beacon of what we could be.
Mm-hmm.
So, he is
our Nelson Mandela. Julius Yelere,
our freedom fighter for entertainment peeps.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, but thank you so much for coming. Like, I really appreciate having you on.
Of course.
I enjoyed this conversation. Like, it was just vibes, laughter. Like, really, thank you so much for coming on. Really, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm loving this. If you ever need another show, another episode, I'm here for you.
Hey, I feel like we gotta do another one. I feel like we do. The people asking for another one.